Chapter 3, Knowledge. Overview. Platoon leaders and platoon sergeants are often the most trained, experienced, and educated soldiers in the platoon. They are responsible for training and educating their soldiers on tactical tasks and army programs, such as the Command Supply Discipline Program. Leaders often rely on what is taught in the Officer Leadership and Non-Commissioned Officer Professional Development System schools. This is a solid basis. However, successful leaders continue to educate themselves to keep abreast of changes throughout their career. This chapter discusses Command Supply Discipline, the Company Maintenance System, Platoon Cohesion and Discipline, and Family Readiness Programs. Command Supply Discipline. Quote, "My first experience with property was as an assistant S2, intelligence officer. I had to sign for a piece of equipment that I did not know what it was, nor what it did. I never got out the fielding documents or technical manual to verify that all of the subcomponents were present when I conducted my lackluster inspection when signing for the equipment. When I was on my way out, the next individual signed for the equipment the same way. To this day, I do not know if all of the parts were actually present or not. Day one as a platoon leader, I knew I would not make the same mistake twice." Quote from a current military intelligence company platoon leader. Property accountability is a hallmark of a disciplined platoon. Most platoon leaders sign for thousands of dollars of equipment they need in order to execute their mission. Platoons with effective property accountability support the company Command Supply Discipline Program, execute inventories, sign equipment to the user level, maintain accountability in garrison and the field, and maintain a detailed property book. Failure to properly account for equipment can be a costly or even career-ending failure. For platoon sergeants, many of the requirements for property fall onto your platoon leader because of regulation. That said, your platoon leader will need help and guidance from you to be successful. Be there during inventories to make sure they are done right. This will also give you an opportunity to check equipment for serviceability and see how organized your squad leaders are. Hold your squad leaders accountable during counseling to their support of your platoon leader's program. Finally, own your platoon's sensitive items when in the field. Have a correct master authorization list and ensure squad leaders check and report their status based on the battle rhythm. An active platoon sergeant helps share the load and ensures your platoon maintains a disciplined property accountability program. A platoon command supply discipline program is a reflection of a company command supply discipline program. Company commanders have various requirements from the brigade property book officer for signing their property book and cyclic sensitive item in command inventories. The company's requirements will drive how the commander develops and executes his command supply discipline program. A platoon should stand ready to support the company's program with layouts for inventories and records of basic issue item shortages. Inventories and layouts should be on the company training calendar to protect them from unscheduled events. Most commanders ask platoon leaders to review and sign their property book monthly and notify the supply sergeant and executive officer of any discrepancies in a timely manner. Platoons lay out equipment for multiple types of inventories, such as change of command, cyclic, and pre- and post-field exercises. Layouts should be executed using the most recent technical manual. Technical manuals can be found on the Electronic Technical Manuals application on the Logistics Support Activity website at https://liw.logsa.army.mil. Authorized users only, common access card login required. Be sure to request access to download relevant publications. Like items should be done at the same time, and all sub-hand receipt holders should be available. Any deficiencies should be compared to the last component hand receipts and discrepancies annotated and reported to company leadership. During the first layout, ensure all platoon equipment is marked with a stencil or paint marker denoting the platoon. A platoon leader's first inventory. A platoon leader's first inventory is one of the first opportunities for a platoon leader and platoon sergeant to work together. As you work together to plan and execute the inventory, discuss standards and decide on the expectations of each other. Ensure you have the needed documents, equipment is laid out by the TM, sub-hand receipt holders are available to sign for the equipment, and platoon equipment is properly marked. Quote, when signing for your platoon equipment, lay out the equipment by the TM. Check the equipment present, reality, versus equipment reflected on the component listing, ideal. Mark all PLT equipment with a paint marker, stencil, etc. Like items can easily get mixed up with a sister platoon. Properly sub-hand receipt down to your non-commissioned officers. Quote from an outgoing platoon leader to an incoming platoon leader. Quote, I remember building my component hand receipt before inventories and placing each of the hand receipts in its own plastic sheet in a huge binder. Terrible mistake. The inventories were in the middle of the winter. We were outside, and taking each hand receipt out of the plastic sheet became a mess. Sheets flew everywhere, and they did not match the TM. Best to have an updated TM for each individual end item and go down the list, marking what is there and is not. The binder was a good final copy of what I wanted my hand receipt to look like, not a good working copy. The TMs would have been a good working copy, where I would update the hand receipt later in the office. Quote from a former platoon leader. Platoon level leaders are responsible for signing all equipment down to the user level. This creates accountability. I am responsible for my stuff. And ownership. This stuff is mine. Signing equipment down to the user is critical because it prevents a leader from having to pay for equipment. In addition, the physical act of signing has more impact than a verbal order. Platoon leaders maintain both sub and component hand receipts for their equipment down to the user level. A way to emphasize this is to add it to squad leader counseling to ensure junior leaders understand their responsibilities as property owners. Property accountability is a garrison and field requirement. Property should be inventoried prior to going to the field to assess serviceability. The same applies as a platoon comes out of the field. Pre-combat inspections can accomplish this, ensuring the platoon has the needed equipment to execute its mission. A critical aspect of field property accountability is sensitive items accountability. Platoon-level leaders maintain a correct master authorization list of weapons, night vision goggles, radios, etc. Squad leaders should be required to do the same. The master authorization list should be checked at least twice a day, or according to the standard operating procedure. Platoon leaders and platoon sergeants are responsible for tracking sensitive items. Leaders maintain a property book to keep accountability of their equipment. At a minimum, it should include relevant technical manuals, sub and component hand receipts, and shortage annexes. Any turn-in documents or long-term hand receipts to other platoons should also be included. At times, leaders include pictures of hard-to-identify items. Platoon leaders should require squad leaders to do the same. Squad leaders' books should be inspected often for completeness. Maintaining a solid property accountability program at the platoon level will prevent platoon leaders and squad leaders from paying for lost equipment, keeps their equipment ready for combat, and allows platoon-level leaders to focus more on training. For platoon leaders, one of your first duties as the new platoon leader is to inventory and sign for your equipment. The way you conduct the inventory tells others what type of leader you are. Are you prepared? Do you hold people accountable? Are you organized? Do you do the hard right, or do you take shortcuts? Do you adhere to standards? Getting it right sets you up for success during your leadership time. The bottom line is, this can cost you money or get you fired. Only sign for what you can see and touch. Sign all equipment down to the user and ensure it is properly sub-hand receipted. During your first inventory, take pictures of hard-to-identify items and ensure pilferable items are marked with a stencil or paint marker. Execute proper inventories. Maintain a solid property book for platoon equipment with relevant technical manuals, sub and component hand receipts, and shortage annexes. Do not take shortcuts. Platoon-level maintenance. Quote,
The biggest thing that I expect from a platoon leader and sergeant is knowing the status of all of their equipment. A spreadsheet that lists every vehicle and any trailer, radio, or Duke associated with it works well. When something goes down, they should be able to say why it was down and what the expected outcome will be, replace or repair, and when the part will come in. Quote from a current forward support company commander. Platoons are asked to execute multiple types of missions, sometimes on a short timeline. It is important that a platoon maintains equipment readiness of their weapons, radios, vehicles, and other equipment. Equipment readiness is as important as personnel and training readiness. Platoon-level leaders should complete a Department of Army Form 5988-E, Equipment Maintenance and Inspection Worksheet, plan for and supervise maintenance, and maintain equipment in the field. Maintenance and repairs are tracked on Department of the Army Form 5988-E at the platoon level. The forms are printed from the Global Combat Support System, Army. The ability to read and understand a Department of the Army Form 5988-E is critical to a leader's ability to execute platoon maintenance. A properly completed Department of the Army Form 5988-E gives leaders the ability to understand their equipment status during repairs. When reviewing a Department of the Army Form 5988-E, a leader should first review the administrative data. The upper portion of the form lays out the equipment type, bumper number, national stock number, serial number, and the current mileage reading for the equipment. Department of the Army Form 5988-E also includes the relevant publication numbers for technical manuals needed for preventive maintenance checks and services. After confirming the administrative data, leaders should review the equipment service due data, which lays out the next service due date. The date should be on the training calendar and deconflicted with any training. The historical faults and parts requested section allows leaders to assess the status of their equipment. This section is where any faults and their technical status are reviewed. Deadlined equipment cannot be dispatched without a commander's exception. Equipment with shortcomings is important to note, as it may limit a platoon's operation. The executive officer should be notified of any differences between the actual status and the Department of the Army Form 5988-E status. Faults should have a work order number and a relevant work code attached. Maintenance personnel have not verified faults that do not have a work code often. Platoon leadership should work closely with the executive officer and motor sergeant to validate and update faults. The following work codes show the status of the repair work. Work codes. 0. Begin non-mission capable time. 1. Awaiting deadlining non-mission capable parts. 5. Scheduled services. 6. Reinspection. 8. Rework, return to shop. 9. Begin in transit time. A. Awaiting initial inspection. B. In shop. C. Awaiting shop. I. In shop awaiting non-mission capable parts. J. In shop awaiting non-mission capable parts. K. Awaiting non-mission capable parts. R. Awaiting pickup. S. Closed completed by the maintenance activity. U. Picked up. Must be closed first. Once parts are ordered against a fault, they are tracked on Department of the Army Form 5988-E by national stock number and the date the part was requested. Leaders need to be aware of the priority code 02 5-day turnaround, 05 8-day turnaround, and 12 30-day turnaround, and request a change to the priority through the executive officer as needed. After reviewing the current fault section, operators complete the preventive maintenance checks and services and fill in the back with any additional faults. Faults should be listed by line item from the technical manual and include a slash for shortcomings or an X for deadline fault per the manual. Most units require a mechanic to confirm a fault before it is input onto Department of the Army Form 5988-E. Platoon leaders and platoon sergeants need to confirm any faults with the motor sergeant to ensure they are validated and input into the system. Platoon-level leaders incorporate maintenance into their planning. Maintenance time should be on the company training calendar and usually designated for Motor Pool Mondays. However, this time is not enough, as maintenance is a daily requirement. Faults identified on Monday have to be followed up. Parts arriving to repair broken equipment need to be installed within the week. Platoon leaders and platoon sergeants should protect this time to allow soldiers to focus on their vehicles and equipment. In addition to protecting time, platoon leadership must ensure Department of the Army Form 5988-E and technical manuals are on hand to allow soldiers time to properly execute maintenance. Finally, maintenance should be personally led. There are multiple competing demands for platoon leader and platoon sergeant's time, but a leader's presence speaks to the platoon's priorities. Leadership presence creates a culture of maintenance within the platoon. Maintenance must happen in the field. Before, during, and after preventive maintenance checks and services give operators the ability to ensure the readiness of their vehicle. Vehicle and weapon maintenance should be planned into any patrol. Performing after-use preventive maintenance checks and services of vehicles in a vehicle patrol base is as critical as daily weapon maintenance in a dismounted patrol base and should be planned as part of the platoon's priorities of work. Platoon cohesion and discipline. Quote, "Being a leader of troops is a privilege, and leaders must take full advantage of the opportunity. Leaders must always maintain good order themselves, so that they may lead by example the soldiers they are in charge of. Leaders must also be consistent on all Army standards throughout their formation, maintaining good order and discipline, and being fair and impartial when recommending both rewards and punishment for their soldiers, builds trust and maintains morale in a platoon." Quoted from a field artillery first sergeant. Part of building cohesion and discipline within a platoon is creating and enforcing high standards. High standards help create platoon cohesion by focusing soldiers on success and actively combating sexual harassment and assault and equal opportunity issues. To be effective, standards need to be properly enforced through counseling, corrective training, and the Uniform Code of Military Justice. High standards focus a platoon on success and create goals for individuals and teams to achieve. This helps build a team by creating a sense of ownership and pride in the platoon. Platoon leaders and platoon sergeants must always be on the lookout for issues regarding hazing and sexual assault. Hazing and sexual assault destroy trust in the cohesion of teams. Leaders who create and enforce a zero-tolerance policy on hazing, supporting their commander's policies, can help create a positive atmosphere in their platoon. Care must be taken when building rite-of-passage programs into the platoon to ensure they do not cross into hazing. Well-disciplined platoons follow Army standards and brigade, battalion, and company policy letters. New leaders should read and understand their unit's policy letters and make their subordinates do the same. When a soldier is arrested for driving under the influence, who needs to know? What happens when a positive drug test is returned? What about an underage drinking issue in barracks? Leaders who do not know the standards cannot enforce them. For platoon leaders, be involved in all levels of reward, corrective actions, and punishment at the platoon level. Punishment is reserved for the commander through the Uniform Code of Military Justice process. Be very careful of punishment disguised as corrective training. This can lead to indiscipline in the platoon. Successful platoon sergeants and squad leaders keep the platoon leader informed of all corrective actions and rewards. If junior leaders are found punishing soldiers outside of their authority, it must be stopped. Listen to your non-commissioned officers. They have more interaction with the soldier in question and knowledge of the situation. Working together and keeping company leadership informed will prevent issues with hazing and harassment. Quote, "Platoon leaders should be kept apprised of everything that is going on within their platoon. Granted, they can let the non-commissioned officers handle the smaller discipline issues, but the platoon leader still needs to know there are discipline issues and what those issues are." Quoted from a former platoon leader. Platoon-level leaders have multiple tools at their hands to enforce discipline in their platoon. Platoon leaders and platoon sergeants can counsel, give corrective training, and recommend Uniform Code of Military Justice actions to the commander. Counseling is often the first step and should be in writing and include a detailed plan of action for the soldier to improve performance. Counseling is a two-way conversation, even for negative performance. Most times, a soldier will hint at family or personal issues affecting their work. Listen and get soldiers the help they need as discussed in the family readiness section. Proactive counseling can stop small issues before they become major and require measures that are more drastic. Assessing and counseling a close coworker, squad leader, or platoon sergeant on his deficiencies can be difficult. A leader owes it to their soldiers and non-commissioned officers to give them honest feedback to help them improve. Platoon leaders and platoon sergeants also owe it to the Army to write honest and accurate assessments of their subordinates to ensure the right people are promoted to higher levels of leadership. Corrective actions and training are effective tools to fix training deficiencies, either on the spot or over time. Stopping a soldier backing up a vehicle without a ground guide and providing an immediate demonstration on how to safely back up a vehicle with a ground guide is an example of an on-the-spot corrective action. Providing extra preliminary marksmanship instruction to soldiers unable to qualify on their assigned weapon is an example of applying corrective training over time. Care must be taken to ensure corrective actions and training are not oppressive. Do not single out soldiers, directly relate to the training deficiency, and do not continue after the deficiency is overcome. Documenting corrective actions and training on a counseling statement and keeping the company command team informed can help prevent training from becoming hazing or harassment. The following definitions are from U.S. Army Training and Doctrine Command Regulation 350-6, Enlisted Initial Entry Training Policies and Administration. Corrective action. Non-punitive actions used as a motivational tool by authorized non-commissioned officers to immediately address deficiencies in performance or conduct and to reinforce required standards. By virtue of administering corrective action, there is recognition that the misconduct did not result from intentional or gross failure to comply with standards of military conduct. Corrective action is inappropriate for situations requiring additional training to master a specific level of skill proficiency or in matters where punishment is administered because of Uniform Code of Military Justice Action. Corrective training. Corrective training is for soldiers who have demonstrated that they need and would benefit from additional instruction or practice in a particular skill. Corrective training should be directly related to the military skill that the soldier is deficient in and assist him in meeting the standard. A last step for most soldier issues is recommending Uniform Code of Military Justice to the commander. The company commander can execute bars to reenlistment, chapters for separation, Summary Article 15s, and Company Grade Article 15s. Company commanders can only recommend Field Grade Article 15s and court-martial to the battalion commander. Work closely with company leadership to assemble counseling statements and other statements needed to document the event. Commanders work their discipline programs differently. Open and honest communication helps platoon-level leaders understand how to support their commander's program. For platoon sergeants, you have seen and perhaps been on the receiving end of negative counseling, corrective training, and Uniform Code of Military Justice. Your platoon leader has not. Help him through this process. It is often difficult for a young leader to work through. Also, work in close conjunction with the first sergeant. Your first sergeant has a direct line to the commander and can help review counseling, develop corrective training programs, and decide whether to recommend Uniform Code of Military Justice or not. Family Readiness Programs. Quote, 10% of my soldiers take up 90% of my time. Dealing with family issues and taking care of soldiers is just what platoon sergeants do. When I am in company with a solid family readiness program, I know I can focus on training when we are in the field because there is someone there that families can go to first before trying to contact their soldier. Quoted from an infantry platoon sergeant. Supporting a company's family readiness group program and soldiers' families is a critical part of maintaining readiness within a platoon. Platoon leaders and platoon sergeants are integral parts of a company's family readiness group or program. The family readiness group is the commander's forum for communicating to the families of soldiers. It is a spouse's direct link to company leadership. As senior leaders within the company, platoon-level leaders should encourage their platoon's participation, plan and attend meetings, and be part of their soldiers' family link with the company. There are several ways to support the company's family readiness group and encourage participation. Adjusting schedules and finding time for soldiers and their families to attend meetings can help accomplish this. When planning training at the platoon level, leaders need to be aware of how events affect families and the company family readiness group. Platoon-level leaders are often selected to plan and attend family readiness group meetings. While seen as an additional duty, family readiness group meetings should be briefed and tracked in the company training meeting as part of the training calendar. Oftentimes, the action officer works with the company family readiness group leader to plan and prepare the meeting. The family readiness group leader brings a wealth of knowledge and insight, but the action officer is responsible for detailed planning based on the troop leading procedures. Some commanders make use of social media using company newsletters, Facebook live chat, and other means of talking directly to families. Dealing with soldiers' families can be a challenging process. Being proactive and identifying possible issues through engagement with soldiers and the family readiness group helps identify high-risk soldiers. A first line of defense is the battalion chaplain. The chaplain has access to programs and training to help soldiers through difficult times. Army Community Services is another excellent resource for a platoon. Army Community Services provides multiple programs such as Army Emergency Relief Loans, Relocation Assistance, Employment Readiness for Spouses, Financial Training, Budgeting Classes, and other programs. Army Community Services also has the ability to refer soldiers and families to other Army resources. It is often a critical first step for leaders to refer soldiers who need assistance. Army OneSource, online at www.myarmyonesource.com, is another Army Community Services type resource that can link soldiers and families into the Army support structure. A final resource is a unit's Military Family Life Counselor.